You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side, where the birds and the bees survive. Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side, will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children
side. Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, Smart Health Talk listeners from South Beach, Florida. I'm actually over here, got to see one of our relatives get a very prestigious award and very proud of him. So got to come here and going to go test out the nightlife here in South Beach later on at the Wall at the W. So that's pretty exciting. Maybe see some celebrities. But we actually have a really great show and a celebrity that I have been a fan of for many, many years on our show today, Kevin Sorbo. And the work he does with kids is just incredible, and it's making a difference in their lives in so many different ways. The potential of our children is actually limitless, yet so many are falling through the cracks instead of finding the tools, resources, and the help that they need to be successful. Kevin Sorbo, known to many of us as Hercules from the television series that he starred in, along with many other roles over the years, recognize the need of children in Los Angeles County to have mentors and role models that could help give them the skills needed to become successful adults. Since 1997, Kevin Sorbo has been a spokesperson for the nonprofit organization A World Fit for Kids. The program received a gold medal from the California Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports as the most outstanding nonprofit organization positively impacting the physical activity, fitness, and well-being of California's children and youth. I personally heard one of the trainers speak at a school food service event several years ago and clearly remember her. Hearing her talk about the program and what they were able to accomplish with changing the lives of the kids they were able to reach really stuck with me. I remember being like very impressed with her, how she conducted herself and the passion she had for her work with these kids. As a public health dietitian that has been fighting to prevent childhood obesity for years, I saw this program as a glimmer of hope for more kids to have access to physical activity at a time when schools were dropping physical activity programs and adding study time instead to supposedly raise test scores. Something that she said really stuck in my head, and that was how they teach these kids how to play. And what she meant by that was that during the process of playing games, the children actually learned how to follow rules and to respect others. And this young woman was so impressive that it just seemed like this had to be a great program. And if this was the kind of trainers they were recruiting, you know, we really had some hope there. So the money that goes into these programs, everyone, it keeps paying dividends over and over again. It's one of the best investments we could make in the future of our kids. And I am not surprised that Kevin has taken a leadership role in this organization, because it was obvious to me that I was a big fan of his, not just because I enjoyed his acting, but because there seemed to be this caring man behind the role. Kevin, I'd really like to welcome you to Smart Health Talk.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Yay, Kevin! I'm just like, ah! I'm just like such a big fan. So just, you know, having you on your show is just like such a big thrill. So many of us remember you from Hercules, but you've actually been involved in many projects since then and have some in the works. And I saw that you actually have a project that was based in South Beach, Miami, which is where I'm at right now. And so, you know, there you have some other ones. It's Abel's Field.
Well, you got to give me, I mean, after 7 years on Hercules, I did do another series for 5 years called Andromeda. It was a pretty big science fiction show, so.
Oh, and, you know,
I'm going to discount 5 years of 80 hours a week.
You know, that was a big hit, too, but I'm sorry. I just, like, loved you so much as Hercules. But
oh,
when
no,
I told.
Hercules is where it all started. I'm not complaining too much.
But when I told some people at my favorite health food store that I shop at that you were going to be on our show, they just went totally nuts. This one girl, she's like, I have all 6 seasons, you know, of every single one of the shows. I love him so much. So, it just showed me the passion that your fans have for you. And, you know, I really wasn't surprised, you know, because of how much, you know, I have enjoyed your work as well. And I really meant that when I said, you know, just, I think one of the things that it just really shows through with you is that you have such a caring heart. And, you know, your work with this program has just, you know, made such a big difference in so many kids' lives. You know, besides, you know, your, you know, all of your acting roles, of course, that brings us pleasure as well. But, you know, how did you, like, get involved with the World Fit for Kids?
Well, you know, it started because of Hercules. I mean, it was 1996. We were just finished our third year of shooting the series, and we had passed Baywatch as the most watched TV show in the world. And because of that, I think it brought to the attention of a lot of other charities out there that I had a following around the globe. So I started got hit up by, you know, Make-A-Wish, Pediatric AIDS, I mean, really wonderful foundations and wonderful programs. And I already had a lot of friends, actors that were working on things like that. So I called my manager and I said, you know, I'm looking for something that deals with kids who are basically healthy but living really in unhealthy environments. And I said, maybe an after-school program, something like this. Well, within about 3 weeks, I get a call from her, and she says, you know, I think I found something for you. It's called Los Angeles Fit for Kids. And it's not very big, but, you know, they're growing. And so I met with Normandy Nye, and Normandy runs the whole program. And I loved her energy over the phone, and we talked, and I actually flew her down to New Zealand. I wanted to meet her. So she didn't turn down a trip to New Zealand. So
wow.
She came down there, and we hit it off, had wonderful conversations, and I just said, you know, I'm sold on this. Let's do it. I said, but I want to change the name to A World Fit for Kids. I want to make this thing, we want to make this go everywhere, not just Los Angeles.
We think alike. I think global.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you got to have a dream, right? And it was, you know, when I got back to L.A., I went down and met with everybody else that was on the board. It's a nonprofit, but certainly there are people that are in paying positions there because, you know, they're working very long hours, you know, giving up so much of their time. And, you know, they're very passionate about what they do to make kids. You know, it's a multi-leveled, really, after-school program dealing on many different areas, mentoring, physical education, school grade, preparation for the real world once you get out of into high school and beyond, and into hopefully they go to university, and how to get ready to, you know, be productive individuals and not rely on just the system to take care of them. You know, a lot of these are kids that have grown up with parents and grandparents and great grandparents that have just basically made their living off the welfare system, you know. And I want to try to break that cycle and say, you know what, get a job, let's work, let's be productive, let's actually contribute to the world and contribute to society. And it's really, to me, that's where self-esteem and real hope and real change happens in people's lives.
Well, and I think a lot of people just think, oh, well, you know, kids are getting this stuff, you know, at home, and they don't realize, because I actually come from a home like that, and I'm the first person in my family to ever get a college education, and I think people don't understand the mentality. I mean, when I was growing up, no one ever said, oh, you're going to go to college. That, you know, it was because no one in my family ever been to college, so we didn't really even have that expectation, so I didn't have anyone encouraging me to do that. And just to have one person in your life can just totally saying, you know, you can go to college, can change your whole life.
Oh, it's no question. No question about that. And I mean, that's the whole thing is just, you know, our first hour after school is actually it's total physical fitness. And because, you know, they're cutting out physical education in every level of school, junior high, grade school, high school.
Even recess. They like,
you know. Yeah, I mean, 10-year-old kids need to run around an hour a day. And it's a proven fact that after an hour of exercise, your retention levels and attention levels spike to the roof. And that's when we hit them up right away after that hour of doing, you know, what they want to do. We want, if they want dance, we bring in dance people. If they want their basketball, whatever it may be, we want to make sure that the kids love what they're doing as well. And we also, you know, we introduce them to things that maybe they've known about but never got involved with. So we want to make sure that they're active and involved. And after that first hour, it's let's hit the books. Where are your problems? Why I'm not good at math. Okay, let's talk about math. Let's make your math better. You know, I'm in a school district. The Los Angeles school district is one of the worst in the country. And unfortunately, there's a lot of worse in the country all across America. There's a 54% dropout rate starting as low as fifth grade in Los Angeles.
That is so sad.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And we have 12,000 kids we're able to take in right now. Trust me, we'd like to take another 12,000 in. But we're operating on just such a tight budget right now like everybody else is. So I understand it. I'm not trying to play my own little violin here. I get it. Everybody's going through tough times. But, you know, these are kids. This is our future. This is what I think, you know, our educational system is very sad. I mean, we rank 57th in the world in our education system. Our brightest eighth graders cannot compete with Asia's dumbest, for lack of a better word, sixth graders. That's appalling. And we should be outraged by that. We should be outraged by the way the system operates and by the way we graduate kids who can't even read or write. You know, and the blame does lie on the parents, and it does lie on the teachers as well. I mean, shame on them for not doing the jobs that they're supposed to do. And I grew up in that world. My dad taught for 35 years at the junior high level in math and biology. So I'm very well aware of the public education.
But you can talk.
You know?
You know.
And so, and it is broken. It is, and it needs fixing. I mean, people should go see Waiting for Superman, movies like this, to see what is going on out there and what is not going on out there. So the next hour after that, we work with them to raise their grades. And not only do we have, in a school district that has a 54% dropout rate, we have a 98% graduation rate for the kids involved in our program, and we have a 67% higher GPA. When I go to Congress, at least once a year, Normandy's there all the time, to speak with the Congress members to keep hopefully funding these after-school programs, not only in our schools, but also in, you know, schools across the country. It's amazing how nothing gets done. And I say, look at what we do. What is it that you guys can't do with a stroke of a pen that I'm doing right now? And it's just... You know, it's amazing.
Well, tell us how vulnerable kids are after school. You're an after-school program, and, you know, isn't that like the most vulnerable time?
The police should love us for all we do. We keep 3 hours a day. We're babysitting in a positive way.
And that's the most vulnerable time for kids to get involved in sex, drugs, you know, all that kind of stuff.
No,
is
no
that,
question.
That period
I mean,
of time.
Are there, you know, but, you know, we're becoming a society that's very apathetic and very just blasé about everything in life right now. And it's really amazing to me how we just, that's the way it is. Times change. Well, you know what? There are the rules. Are they all really made to be broken, really? I mean, don't you think laws make kind of sense to make us all live in sort of a peaceful existence? But, you know, everything is just getting blown out the window now, and everything is okay. Every behavior is okay. But you know what? It's not. And our society is falling apart. We're falling apart right now, and it's very sad.
Just teaching our kids fundamental type of skills that you have to have to make it in this world. Those are the kind of things that you guys focus on.
We focus on it's really, you know, what we need. What I need is a Normandy in every city, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go nationwide with this program right now. It's like I said, you mentioned earlier, we received an award for having the best program in the entire state of California. People don't realize it. California is a pretty big state, so it's kind of an honor to get that. You know, so we're doing something.
Absolutely.
Right. It's really headed up by Normandy, and, you know, you want to talk about creating real jobs. Well, we're trying to create real jobs. We're reaching out to cities across America saying, who wants a job? Who wants to work with kids? Who wants to, you know, make a difference in the future for America and in the future for our children that are going to be one day the adults of this country? So, I mean, I remember not that long ago when people came to talk to my high school and junior high school and saying, you guys are our future. Well, you know, the years go by pretty quick, as we can all attest to.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, you know, a lot of kids fall through the cracks. And, you know, people want a return on their investment. And, you know, your program, it just keeps paying over and over and over again because, you know, not only are we, you know, helping these kids right now, but when you look at, like, you know, with what you teach them about, you know, nutrition, how to succeed and make, you know, graduate from high school, you know, all the other things that we could end up spending money on these kids. You know, if they end up getting in trouble, you know, and end up in jail, how much does that cost? You know, if they end up on welfare too, how much does that cost? Or they end up with diabetes.
We have a cycle going on now that's been going on since the 60s, you know. You can thank LBJ for that. So, it's, you know, we created a welfare system which is important, and I want to help people who really need help. I'm all for that, so I don't need people sending me hate mail and hate Twitters and stuff, you know. I'm all for helping people who really need help, but there's a lot of people, let's face it, we know it and we all know it, that abuse the system, and they take advantage of the system, and they rip the system off, and they rip the people off that are paying their taxes and working hard. And, you know, that needs to change. But, you know, it's been going on now for a few generations, three generations, four generations, and people get used to it. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they go on aid initially, feel like, oh, they feel bad about it. But, you know, the longer you're on it, the more you become complacent. You don't do anything. And we're trying to get people to be, you know, want to do something. I mean, nothing was handed to me. I mean, you know, my dad, yeah, public school teacher. School teachers out there, if they're listening right now, they know what their salaries are. They know what they're making. You know, I had two older brothers. I got all their hand-me-down clothes. But, you know, I didn't know any difference because I was very fortunate to grow up in a caring and loving family and a very supportive family. And, but, you know, I looked out there and I saw how people were living and how people, the good and bad of it. And I said, you know what? I am going to follow my dreams. I'm going to go into an industry that, you know, I'm a 13-year overnight success. So how's that? Okay. I stuck with it and I worked really hard and I want to instill that in other people because that's what my father instilled in me.
Yeah, I hear you. I went back to school when I was 35 for 10 years, and it was tough to be in a single mom with two kids, but,
yeah,
you know, I was determined.
And, you know, and people say, think, well, life isn't fair. You know what? It's not supposed to be fair. It's the way it is. You know, Tiger Woods is a better golfer than me. Should I complain about that? He makes millions and millions of dollars just showing up at a golf tournament, you know? Well, good for him. You know, people don't realize he's been doing the game since he was 3 years old, and he gave up everything else to do it. I mean, if you want to follow your dreams, you got to commit to your dreams, and nothing comes easy in this world. It shouldn't be. I mean, that's what makes it worthwhile when you attain the things you tried to attain in your life, and once again, that's what we're trying to get these kids to understand, and that they can be whatever they want to be, and don't let other people set your limitations, because that's what society does to kids. Well, you're from that neighborhood, so this is the best you can do in your life. You know what? No, it's not. You know, I've got friends, you know, a lot of our schools in the worst areas in downtown Los Angeles, you know, and I've met a lot of people down there, and I've met people that have become successful because they work their butts off, and they tell me that when they return to the neighborhoods, people give them a hard time for you know, basically, they call it, you know, giving into the white man. I go, how's that giving into the white man if you work hard to get out of the situation you're in? And then he said, when these guys that I grew up with, they come back out of prison, they treat them like the royalty. They say, hey, man, you got out, you know, and it's like, what is going on? That is something we want to glamorize and glorify, and not the guy that works his tail off to become successful in something he wants to do with his life. I mean, it's very strange, the system right now that we got going on.
Well, what I feel, you know, what's so important about what you're doing is that you're actually telling the kids, like you just said, that you can have this. And I'll never forget telling one kid that I was working with, you know, you can go to college. And he's like, no, I can't. I said, of course you can. Who told you you can't? And this is the mentality. It's like we've lost some kids along the line. They've kind of fallen into this black hole where they don't have the skills on understanding what it takes to go out there and really make it. And
we promote laziness. And fear is a big factor for people. I mean, FDR said, you know, years ago, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And he's absolutely right. And we have to get past that place that you realize that I used to caddy at this private country club. I didn't have 2 cents to rub between my fingers, you know. And these guys were all rich guys. And I used to ask them, how did you get to where you are? This is when I was in high school and into college, when I was in debt up in my butt with my student loans that I paid off, okay? And these guys would tell me that they all failed. Every one of them would tell me their story, but their one story they had in common was that they failed, but they learned from the failure. They used the failure as a positive. They said, okay, this is what I did right, this is what I did wrong, now I'm going to the next step. And they kept trying. They kept trying. And these are people that put in 80, 90, 100 hours a week. Well, you know what? A lot of people aren't willing to even do that. So if you're not willing to do that, then stop complaining and blaming other people for your own failure in life. It's not other people's fault if you're not successful in your life. It's up to you to say, you know, you're going to meet those bumps, you're going to meet those, those valleys that are going to knock you down, and people are going to say no and be negative. Well, it's up to you to fight back. That. I mean, I'm in a business. When I moved out here from Minnesota, my small little town in Minnesota, out to L.A., I was overwhelmed with this city. And I had every door slammed in my face. And I just used that as fuel to the fire. I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And you know what? I worked the jobs that I had to work to get to where I am.
You have to believe in yourself first, and, yeah. And that's something that you really help these kids with, is just to have that belief in themselves.
And yeah, exactly right. It really is. That's what the program of World Fit for Kids is all about. It's really about helping kids believe in their potential and not letting other people take that away from them.
And that's so true, too. I remember I spoke in front of a group of foster kids, which just, you know, breaks my heart right there when I think about what they their life is like at home or what they have had to go through. And I asked them, I said, how many of you, raise your hand, who a close family member or friend has, you shared your dream and they told you you could not have that dream and tried to steal that dream from you. And it was like every kid, and it makes me want to cry thinking about it, it's like every kid in the whole group, like, raise their hand.
It's amazing.
And it's just like, you know, the people closest to you will steal it.
And that's called indoctrination. That's just teaching people a negative way of life at an early age. And if you keep saying it over and over and over and over again, they pretty much they start believing it themselves. And they've lost all hope, and they say, well, this is my lot in life, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? It's not supposed to be that way. And
you have choices. You have choices in life.
We all have choices. People can be angry all they want. Well, that's a choice. You know, you can be happy too. It's just really up to you to decide what you want to do.
Well, you know, you guys even like teach the kids like about nutrition and where their food comes from. And I've actually taken a group of low-income kids to a farm, an organic farm, and they had never even, like, seen, like, what their food comes from. And we tried to offer one kid a green bean picked right from the plant. He's like, I don't eat nothing unless it's from Stater Brothers. And I was like, where do you think Stater Brothers gets this food? It gets it from the farmer. And so you're connecting kids in many different ways. You're connecting them with their nutrition. You're actually training them to go home and teach their kids, their parents at
home. We bring in people that deal with that deal with nutrition, and they bring the food and they put it out on the big table and they talk about what it is and what's good for you, what's bad for you. I mean, we pretty much know what's bad for us, but unfortunately, bad stuff tastes good because it's, you know, filled with sugar. Sugar and fat, you know, but, you know, we're the most obese country in the world, for crying out loud. I mean, I'm not just saying these things. These are facts. This is truth. And, you know, billions and billions of dollars a year is lost because the obesity, the way the sickness it brings on people and the missed work that happens along with it. I mean, it's just, there's all the facts are right there. I want people to, you know, jump in this and see what we're doing and see what's going on for their kids. And they should fight for these programs in their cities. You know, once again, it's called the World Fit for Kids. If they go to worldfitforkids.org, all one word, and they can find out all about the program. They can find out about what they need to do to bring it to their town and what they can do to help out. And seriously, but this is, you know, we can create jobs for people if they're willing to do this. And they can get a hold of us, and we will help them wherever they are to get this program going.
And so if there's other kids out there that are interested in becoming trainers, they should also contact you, right?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly get a lot of our a lot of our kids come in that are you know, junior high or high school level, and they become mentors to younger kids within their own community. And it's
and doesn't
really
that change them when those, you know, those, because it's so hard to reach teens. Teens are our group that are, it's so challenging, and so many people just want to, like, write them off and give up on them. But you help teens and actually train them to be mentors of other kids, and that responsibility really helps to mold them and change them.
It's been the biggest thing in the program that I love. I mean, that Normandy put together such an amazing floor plan for this after-school program. And she's, you know, surrounded herself with a great team. And we just finished a new public service announcement that's out there as well. People can see it on our website. And we're going to get this thing going everywhere. I've been sending it to all everybody I know to say, hey, spread the word on this. Put this out there. We're getting ready for our fourth annual celebrity golf tournament, which raises money for it. We do it every year. We're back to Las Vegas this year. People go on the website there to check out that. We're always looking for sponsors. We're always looking for golfers. We have a ton of celebrities that have already committed to it. And we got Kenny Loggins is going to be performing. So for the younger set out there doesn't know who he is. He's a pretty famous guy. And I know a lot of people probably watched the re-release of the, the release of the upgraded version of Footloose. Well, Kenny sings the theme song there. That's his song that he wrote back in the 80s when the original movie came out with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that, too. So, you know, you guys do these golf tournaments as fundraisers. I noticed you do a lot of public appearances at golf tournaments, so I have a feeling you love golf.
I do. It's a great game, but it's also, anytime it ties in with a charity, I'll be there if I can.
Well, yeah, we have some big-time golfers in our family as well. So what's your handicap, I got to ask?
I'm a 6 handicap right now.
Hey, not too bad.
Yeah, I'm a decent golfer. I was a 2 in high school. So.
Oh, really? So you started then, so you had a lot of experience.
Well, my
That's
dad
why you ended up being a caddy.
Well, my dad was a teacher, so in the summers he also worked at a golf course. And we could never afford golf, so that's one way to afford it. If your father works at a golf course, you get the golf for free, the family. And then I ended up being a caddy at another course, which I could golf on Mondays when they were closed, but all the caddies could golf on there that day. So trust me, I took advantage of it.
Well, you know, the work that you do, Kevin, is just, you know, so impressive, and I really hope that our listeners out there are going to, you know, go and visit your website and find ways that they can contribute to your program, because, you know, the money that you get is one of the best investments they could make. It's going to, if they want a return, this is going to pay over and over again, because when we make an impact on these children they're successful in life, there's just so many things that they can contribute that they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
I can't say more than anything for people to jump on the website and see what we got going on, worldfitforkids.org, and see what's happening and see where they can contribute. And you know, it's what happens is people, they just get frozen in their lives and they're afraid to, you know, it's too much work, it's too much this, or else find a way, you know, or else find excuses. You know, I don't want to overwhelm people. I understand life can be overwhelming, you know, unto itself. But really it comes down to just saying, you know what, it's really just one brick at a time. If I bring my brick, you bring your brick, and then pretty soon we get millions and millions of bricks coming in, the wall gets made pretty quickly. And right now we're trying to build a wall of improvement, not one of containment. So hopefully people will jump on board, and you know, we can make this thing grow.
Yeah, because you guys have proven this is a program that works. It's sustainable, and therefore it's duplicatable. And we need to be duplicating this program all over the country, because there's so many kids out there that need this. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, and we'll be
back. I'm sorry, I got to run, because you know, now I got to do something with my own kids. They've got their karate test at 5 o'clock, so it's 4:30 here, so I've got to hit the road and bring them to karate.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, and everyone will be, we'll have that link right on our website, so you can, if you've forgotten the website name, we'll have that there, so please look for it, and thanks so much, Kevin. Good luck to you.
I appreciate your time.
Okay, everyone, stay tuned, because we got, like, lots of information for you when we come back.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle. Naya, Naya, Naya Recycle.
Naya, Canada's most environmentally conscious bottled water, is very proud to announce that its already recyclable bottles are now made from 100% recycled plastic. Naya is the first bottled spring water in the world to do that. So in addition to its recycling activities, Naya uses no new plastic to make its water bottles.
Naya, Naya, Naya.
A natural source of progress.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit ionchargeminerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, Smart Health Talk listeners. Well, you know, we just had Kevin on our show here talking about his program that is reaching kids after school, and I just wanted to make a few comments about the importance of that program, which I don't know if people really understand, you know, what's happening to our kids, number one. As a public health dietitian, this was something like we really looked a lot at, and the after-school time is the most vulnerable time for kids because many of these kids, their parents are working, and they have nothing to do. You know, that's the time when they're actually going to get in the most trouble. That's it's after school is when kids, you know, get in trouble, get pregnant, you know, start doing drugs and smoking and drinking. You know, it's really easy for them to fall into, you know, those kinds of things when they have no kind of supervision. And a lot of these kids are just kind of, you know, just kind of drifting. They really don't know what they should be doing. They don't have any guidance, you know, and it's really easy to blame the parents when this kind of thing happens, but, you know, we have to look at, like, some of these parents are actually working two jobs, just trying to make ends meet. And, you know, they just don't have the time to be spending with their kids because they're just trying to survive. They're just trying to pay the bills. You know, they could be working minimum wage jobs. And, like, the latest report that just came out, I mean, you have to make, like, $22,000 a year just to be above the poverty line. And people that are making minimum wage, for them to even make $22,000 a year is not always even possible. And that's why they're working two jobs and they're just trying to, you know, put food on the table and a roof over the head of their children. And so we can't totally blame them. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, I come from a family where no one in my family ever went to college. So I know what it's like to grow up in that family, and no one even talked about me going to college, even though I would get, like, straight A's in school. No one said, oh, gosh, that's, like, really great, Elaine. That will help you be able to get into college. No one even said that to me. We didn't even comprehend the thought of going to college. And so, you know, when you have these kids that come out of welfare homes, that their families have been on welfare for a long time, and they've never went to college, you know, we expect kids to just think that they'll go and do this, you know, and for, first of all, they've got to make it through high school. And like Kevin said, you know, we have like a 54% dropout rate for kids in the LA Unified School District right now. I mean, and I, as a matter of fact, while I'm here in South Beach, in Florida, I was listening to a speaker and they said that, you know, one of the major things that keep you in poverty and keep you from being successful is not graduate from high school. And I, you know, I think that kids that don't graduate from high school, they just automatically think, I can't be anything. What am I going to achieve in life because I wasn't even able to achieve graduating from high school. So, you know, having programs like Kevin's is just so important because it protects these kids during that vulnerable time. And like I mentioned with the teens, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and even David Binkle from LA Unified School Food Service Program said that, you know, they pretty much feel that, you know, the teens, the junior high and high school kids, they've, you know, it's really hard to even change their eating habits because they've already been conditioned to eat a certain way, and to get them to change those eating habits is like really takes a lot of effort to do. So, you know, they put their focus on the younger kids, you know, the kindergartners and first graders, because they know that it's the most amount of influence for the least amount of effort. Where teens, you know, like that would just really upset me when I thought about, you know, no one even having any programs to really help these teens. And I don't want to write them off. And so, you know, I hope that, you know, you guys will go and check out Kevin's website, worldfitforkids.org, and see if there's some way that you can contribute to that program, because these are dollars well spent. They'll keep pain over and over and over again and in the future of our kids and keeping them out of trouble and off social service programs and start to be taxpayers and productive members of our society. So, okay, we got some other things coming up, so don't leave us, and thanks for listening to my big speech here. All right, we'll be back.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Hey, everyone. Well, we just finished talking to Kevin Zorbo a little bit ago and about his after-school program, World Fit for Kids. And, you know, we've been talking about, like, money spent on our kids and the kind of return that we get for that. You know, his program, like he said, he pretty much babysits the kids for 3 hours after school, which is, you know, the most vulnerable time for our kids, getting into trouble because they don't have supervision. And, you know, the programs that the kids can end up getting into are so expensive that this, you know, these kind of programs just totally pay for themselves. And he's teaching them about nutrition and cooking, and they're going home and teaching their parents how to cook, and they're involved in gardens, school gardens, and learning about nutrition. And, you know, all of the kind of skills that they're teaching these kids protect them from getting involved in drugs, getting pregnant, you know, and actually encourage them to go on to college and become productive members of society. And when we look at I'd like to just throw a couple of numbers out there just to give you an idea on just in with diabetes alone. If we are able to teach our kids about nutrition and give them healthy food at school, just in 2007, which is like, you know, 4 years ago, so the numbers are probably even bigger now, the cost of diabetes was $218 billion. And that's because it's like 84% of the people that have diabetes are on either oral medication, insulin injections, or both. People that have diabetes are at very high risk. It's actually the highest reason for kidney failure, amputations, and blindness. And just think about that. If someone has kidney failure and they have to be on dialysis several times a week, do you know how much that costs? Or if someone is blind, you know, I mean now they're disabled, and it's hard for them to do many things. They're not, you know, they're not completely unproductive, of course, but, you know, blindness does kind of like set you back a little bit. And amputations, I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, who would want that? And this can be prevented. We can prevent diabetes. And obesity is the biggest cause. And obesity doesn't just cause diabetes. It causes heart disease and stroke. And heart disease is the number one killer. You know, so just think about all of these things that we could prevent and the money that we could save in healthcare dollars just over a lifetime of someone having diabetes and being all on all of these medications. How much does that cost? And then all of the extra healthcare they need associated with that. So there's, you know, like a number of alarming things happening And, you know, just I have just a couple of seconds here, and I wanted to throw out a couple of other things as far as, you know, on some statistics that are happening. But we're going to cut right now, and stay tuned and come back because I'm going to share those with you.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. There was a couple of things that I wanted to talk with you about. We only have a few minutes left here. Some things in the news that I found pretty disturbing when looking at what's happening to us as a country and our health and, you know, what kind of behaviors that we're kind of sliding into. And one report that came out said that Vicodin, which, of course, is a pain reliever, that 99% of the Vicodin that's made in the world is used in the U.S. So I found that, like, shocking, that the United States is using 99% of the total amount of Vicodin that's manufactured. And I'm just wondering, you know, what does that say about us as a society? And, you know, what are we doing? You know, why is this happening? And, you know, that was like one thing that I found is like kind of alarming, and that, you know, we need to maybe like stop and look and figure this whole thing out on, you know, why this is happening and why people are getting addicted to this and why doctors are prescribing it so much. And in light of everything that's happened, you know, just this week, you know, with Whitney Houston passing away, and the coroner has subpoenaed her health records from the doctors because he must have found something alarming. You know, it shows that this is like a really big problem. A couple of other things that happened in the news recently that I thought were some big red flags for alarm and call to action for people are that there was a study that came out that said that parabens were found in the breast tissue of like 58 out of 59 breast cancer patients. And for those of you that don't know what parabens are, methyl parabens are in practically all of the, you know, like shampoos, lotions, deodorants, any kind of like skincare product that you're using on your body has these methylparabens in it. Well, many, many years ago, I refused to use antiperspirants and those products. I would only get the ones from the health food store because I just did not trust those chemicals. We knew actually many, many years ago that there was a potential for harm from these parabens, and we need to study this more. We haven't exactly figured out all of it, but plan on having some guests in the future to talk more about it. So look out for that show. And please check out our podcast with Kevin and tell your friends about it. And thanks for tuning in to Smart Health Talk.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
Take a walk on the wild side.
right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. Out the window, vision to me. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.